Okay, I think we're up approximately up to Maleches Tzad. The Mishnah and Shabbos Daf and Gimel Amud Aleph lists off all of the lamedes of his malachas in order, and we're up to approximately Tzad. Tzeda is a malacha. Tzeda and Shochet are both in Simen Shinte Zayin. If you look in the Shar HaTzion on the last page in Chela Gimel, the last Amud Aleph in Chela Gimel in Mishnah Berurah, in the Shar HaTzion, he lists off all the lamedes malachas and tells you which simen you find it in the Shulchan Aruch. So this is Shin Tezai. So Tzeda is discussed in the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. There's a Mishnah Kuf Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah has, let's say there's a wild animal ran into a room, and I'm interested in trapping the animals. So I sit down in the doorway and I block the animal's exit. The animal can't run out. So the Mishnah says, Chai Yoshev Echad Ala Pesach. So Umilehu, and he fills up the whole gap in the opening so the animal can get out. So that's an act of tzedah. Let's say there's a bird ran into my home and I want to trap the bird. So I close the door and I close all the windows, intending to trap the bird. So by closing the windows, that relates to the bird. Even I didn't handle a bird b'yadayim at all. I close all the windows and I close the door. So that's an act of tzeda. However, the Mishnah says, what if somebody, the wild animal ran into the room and somebody sat down to block the way? A Yisrael or a Nachri does make a difference. So he already did the act of tzeda. Now the person comes and he sits next to the first one. But the animal was already nitzod when the first one sat down in the doorway. So the second one who sat down didn't do anything wrong. Then the first one picks himself up and he walks away. The Rishon walks away. Harishon chayav, because the first one did the act of tzeda. When he sat down originally, he blocked the exit of the animal. He did the act of tzeda, the hasheni, potter. So usually the Gemara says, the lashon on Mishnah, when it says potter, means potter of a loser. So the Gemara says, on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, kol p'tur de Shabbos. Where is that? The Shmuel, where is it? Whenever it says in the Mishnayos, Pater means Pater Avaloser, with three exceptions to the rule. So this Mishnah is one of the three exceptions to the rule. Where's that memory? The Gemara. Proliferation Pater. The third line from the top on Gimel Amud Aleph, on Masechet Shabbos, Kol P'tur Edu Shabbos. Potter of a loser, bar mehani tlas to potter amuta. One is tzedas tzvi, and another two cases. So tzedas tzvi means this mishnah. Oba sheni v'yasha b'tzido, and the rishon walks away. When the rishon sat down, he accomplished the tzedo. When the sheni sat down, he didn't do anything wrong. Then even afal pi she'omer harishon v'halachla, the first one walks away, and by the sheni remaining sitting in the doorway, he's blocking the ability of the animal to run away. And now he's doing the tzeda that says, Asheni Potter. So Shmuel says, Potter Amutter. It's Heta Gomer. Why is it Heta Gomer? So when we learned the Mishnah, Rav Soloveitchik said, from this Mishnah you see the Yisoid, that you can't be considered a Mechalal Shabbos B'Shei B'Altasim. When he sat down, it was Beheter. Now, when the Rishon walks away, his continuing to sit is an act of tzeda. If he picks himself up and he walks away, the animal will be free to run away. But since he's doing the malach of tzeda, v'shei b'altasa, that's at the gomer. So we pointed out many times that there's such a Rashi in Masechet Sanhedrin, when the Mishnah lists off Elohein ha'nitzkolim, ve'elohein ha'nisrafim, ve'elohein ha'neharogim, ve'elohein ha'nechnokim. So the Mishnah lists off all of the people, v'achayb skilo, ebed avizor, megadef, and so on, v'chal Shabbos. So Rashi says, Mechal Shabbos, Ha'idei Maisim. If he's Mechal Shabbos by doing a Maisim. So then the Mishnah says that if he does it, B'mezid, he's Chayv Skila, and if he does it, B'shagig, he's Chayv Echatas. So there's a problematic Ramah, is a difficult Chuvas HaRamah, that from all the Chuvas HaRamah, I think this is the only one that they printed on the margin, in the page in Yeridei, in the beginning of the second Chelek Yeridei, you have a Siman that talks about Ma'onen U'Manachesh U'Machashev. So the Ramah quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that Mechashev Alo Sechai, one of those Kishuv, is Chayv Misa, but that's only for Samaisa. If Lo Yal Samaisa, he's not Chayv. So the Ramah extrapolates from that Mishnah that in order, just like in order to be Chayv Malkas, you have to have a Lab Sheyesh Bo Maisa. It's a Machlekes Satanoim and a Machlekes Amaroim. With the Eloike for a Lab Sheyesh Bo Maisa, the rule is whoever violates an Avera that's similar to the Saksim Shabbadishai gets Malkas. Because the Chumish Dvarim Midarshan Smuchim. Kol HaTorkuli only Darshan if you have a Hekish, you have two Dinim in the same Pasuk. Chumish Dvarim, because it was Moshe Rabbeinu was transmitting Torah Shabbat Peh to Bnei Yisrael, so he said over one din, and that reminded him of another din, and by association that reminded him of a third din, that reminded him of a fourth din. So Chumash Dvarim, Chumash Mishnah Torah, Chumash Dvarim, the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it in the order that he delivered the Shia. Right before he passed away, the last few days of his life, he gave over all of Torah Shabbat Peh. So the way he delivered the Shia was, he said over one din by association that reminded him of another din. So the Baruch Hashem taught him to write it down in the Chumash like that, to tell us that Yidarshan Smuchim. If two dinim are written and two psukim, one next to the other, they have a shaychus to each other. So that's the premise of the whole third perek in Maseches Makos, perek Elohein Haloikin. The rule is that it says, if the Bezna ascertains that the Rosha deserves Malkus, and so on. The Torah says that a Rosha gets Malkus. So who is the Rosha? Whoever doesn't agree with your ideas is a Rosha. So the very next pasuk says, so that's how all the Tanoim assume, in order to get Malkus, you have to be a Rosha who violated, and they said it's Dumi the Lav the Chasima, similar to the Av of the Sachs Mishav B'disha. So that's a whole Machlek Zatanam. In what way does it have to be similar to the Sachs Mishav B'disha? So we pass in La Loche that it has to be a Lav Sheyesh B'mais. If it's a Lav Sheyesh B'mais, ain't Loikim Alav. And then there's such a din in Masechas Krisis, in the beginning, the first Mishnah, the first few blot in Krisis, that in order to be Chayiv Chatus B'shoigeg, you have to violate the Avera Bikum B'Yaseh. If one is Megadifes Hashem does the Avera Ayidei Dibur, so Dibur is considered a Lav Sheyesh B'mais, so you're not Chay, and he did Giduf B'shoigeg, he thought it's a big joke, he didn't realize that that there's an Avera, he thought it's a joke. So the din is that he's not Chayv Chatos, because in order to be Chayv Chatos, you have to violate the Avera Bikum B'Yaseh. So the Ramah in the Tshuva writes a difficult thing, that the Mishnah says, Mechashef Elo Sechaye, one who violates Kishuv is Chayv Misa, only if Osa Maisa. If Lo Osa Maisa is not Chayv. So he understood that such a din, Lav Sheyesh B'mais, is needed by Malkus and by Chatos and by Misa as well. A Lav Sheyesh B'mais, you don't get any Misa. So that the Pashta says that it's certainly not correct. A Megadif is Chayv Misa L'chol HaDeis. Even though we say Megadif is not Chayv Chatos, that's the first Mishnah in Krisis, because in order to be Chayv Chatos, there's a klal. You have to violate the Avera, Bikum B'Yaseh. A Lav Sheyesh B'mais, you're not Chayv Chatos. A Lav Sheyesh B'mais, there's not Chayv Malkus. But by Misa, there is no klal. Yes, Tom, what's the rule? Who's Chayv Misa? There is no rule. Each and every case of Chayv Misa is separate. Take, for example, the Rambam was not the first one who wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Baal Halachas Gedolos. Halachas Gedolos was a Sefer written in the days of the Goinim, and it's a Sefer HaMitzvahs, basically, the list of which are the 613 Mitzvahs. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs was based on the Bahags, and every so often he disagrees with the Bahag on a couple of details. So one of the points that the Rambam disagrees is like this. The Bahag counts every time a person is Chayv Misa, that's another mitzvah. A mitzvah to give skila to the Mechal Shabbos, a mitzvah to give skila to the Oved Avod Zarah, mitzvah to give skila to the Megadeif, and so on. Nara HaMarasa gets skila. Each one is a separate mitzvah. And each person is chai sreifas, a separate mitzvah. So the Rambam thinks that that doesn't make any sense. And he argues that Bahag himself didn't count. There are over 200 people who are chai malkas. The Rambam has a whole listing of 207. He says, Zar bigimatria, Zayin resh, is 207. The Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin lists off all the others for which you get malkas and the others you don't get malkas. From the 365 lavin, 207 of them get malkas, and the Rambam lists them all off. So that if you're going to count every single person who gets malkas as a mitzvah, so you're going to have already 207 mitzvahs essay before you even begin, and there are only 200 ramach mitzvahs essay, 248 mitzvahs. So you can't count each person who gets malkas a mitzvah that doesn't give malkas to this person, to the other person. The other person, the Bahag himself, only counts it as one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah to give malkas. All those people are chayav malkas. So why did the Bahag count it as so many different mitzvahs to give sreifa to this one and that one and the other one and the other one, to give skila to this one and that one? You should have counted it either like the Ramban, to give the death penalty to people who deserve death, or you should have counted like the Rambam. There are four mitzvahs. One mitzvah to give skila to those who deserve skila. One mitzvah to give sreifa to those who deserve sreifa. Herek Chenek, Edi counted as one mitzvah, four mitzvahs, but you don't count it. You don't count all the Chayvei Mises as a separate mitzvah. That's the Rambam's kash against the Bahag. If you count it every time Bezin has a mitzvah to give the death penalty to a Bal Avera as a separate mitzvah, why didn't he count the 207 Averas that Bezin gives Malkus for separately? So the Ramban defends the Bahag. He says that's not a kash. He says because by Malkus there's a klal. The klal is, if the person is a balavera and he did an aver that's similar to l'sach smusha b'disha idarshan smuchim, so then there's one klal. Whoever did an aver that's similar to l'sach smusha b'disha, you give him malchus. But by misa there is no klal. There's no tzarashava. There's no tzarashava by misa. Megaref is chay misa, balesh yisish is chay misa, machal shab is chay misa. There is no. We don't have any system. The Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't have any klal. Atzara Shoga, who gets Misa? So that's why the Bahag was of the opinion that each person is Chayv Misa is a separate din. So this, what the Ramo wrote in the Chul, is very difficult. He extrapolated from the din of the Hashem Olosa Chayev. Oysa Maisa Chayev, and if he does Kishavak De Maisa is Chayev, so he extrapolated. You never get Misa unless it's a Lav Sheish Ba Maisa. There is no such klal. And the God of Es Hashem is a Lav Sheish Ba Maisa, and he is Chayv Misa. It's a Beferish Apostle. That Mishnah by Mechashev is a different thing. It means, Oysa Maisa Chayev, Oychus HaSainayim Potter. If he just does a magic trick and he fools the public into believing that he made a rabbit out of nothing, he picks up his top hat and a rabbit jumps out. So he fools the listeners, he fools the watchers into believing that he made a rabbit appear, Yeshmiah. He didn't. It was a sleight of the hand. So that's called Oiches HaSainayim, if he just fooled the public. As opposed to Asa Maisa means if he really did black magic. That's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. If he really converted a tape recorder into a rabbit, or he converted a rabbit into a tape recorder, if he really did something, Oiches HaMaisa, Schayiv. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara talks about Natias Kishuin. The person stands on one side of the street and is going to accomplish either harvesting the two on the other side or planting melons on the other side of the street. So if he fools the people into believing that he did that, and when they walk across the street, they see that he didn't do that. They realize all things are fake. Then it's a magic stunt. Then it's not called Kishuin. But if he really did Natias Kishuin, He really did harvest the tefua. That's called Asa Maisa. Then it's called Kishuv. But that Asa Maisa, not because there's a general klal in order to be chayv misa, you need a lav sheish ba maisa. There is no such klal. It means it's not called Kishuv unless he really changed something. This is a problem. According to the Rambam, says no such thing as black magic. The whole thing is a fake. So when is Mechashev ever chayv misa? That's the Ramban's taina. The Ramban thinks that there is such a thing as black magic. Otherwise, Mechashev would never be Chayav Misa. So why does Rashi say in Masechet Sanhedrin that Tamchalas HaShabbos So it's not that there's a general rule that a lav shema maisa yinat chayv misa. It's not true. The general rule is only by malchus and by chatos. And in fact, Rabbeinu Lo Soloveitchik has a hechocha that the definition of lav sheyesh ba maisa by malchus is not the same as the definition of lav sheyesh ba maisa by chatos. He has a gemara in Sanhedrin and a gemara in Krisus that it's not the same definition. And by misa there is no such klal. So it must be that Rashi means that that's a part of the definition of Melech HaShabbos. There's no Melech HaShabbos B'Shevi Al-Tasa. So we point that out, that that's a Mishnah later in Masech HaShabbos. The Mishnah quotes, Rav Yudin says, Where is that? So the Gemara says there, since he could be mafresh truma b'machshava, so if a person is there's a din with the rabbanon, they're not allowed to be mafresh trumas and maisus on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of mesakan manim with the rabbanon. That's a mishnah in the end of Beitza. So the Gemara says over here, Masech Shabbos, since there is a din, v'nechshav lachem trumaschem, the pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach. So the pasuk shat and the pasuk means one thing, and the Torah Shabbat there has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. The pshuto shel mikra means when the farmer gives the maaserishon to the levi, and the levi is mafresh maaser and a maaser, and he gives that to the kohen. The nechsho lachem trumaschem, when you levi and give trumas maaser, they give one tenth. The maaserishon is one tenth of everything, and the levi has to give one tenth of one tenth. They're giving 1% of the whole tefuah. He gives it to the kohen as maaser and a maaser. That's called trumas maaser. So the Torah says, "V'nechshav lachem trumaschem," the trumas ma'isa that the levi is mafrish has the exact same din. Kadogan ben agor mecham leim ben ayakev has the exact same dinim as truma. That it's only mutter lekoyin and a zar who eats it is chay misa b'day shemaim. If he eats it b'shegig, has to give kerem mechaimish. All the dinim are exactly the same. Trumas ma'isa is mamish shem echod with truma. Let's say a zar. That's a mishnah in Me'ilah. The Mishnah Me'ilah, that we paskan, in order for a zar to get malchus to eat in truma, he has to eat it for zayis. Rav Shimon holds that kol shehula malchus, if he eats something treif, even if he eats less than a kazayis, he'll like it. We don't paskan like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon in the Mishnah Makas holds kol shehula malchus. Lom kazayis ha'ela linyan chatas belvad. In order to be chayv chatas b'shegek, for eating chayla v'dam. If you would have eaten chayla v'dam in mezid, you wouldn't have chayv koreis. So if you eat it b'shegek, you're chayv chatas. How much chelav dam do you have to eat? You have to eat a kazayis chelav or a kazayis dam. So Rav Shimon says, kol shehu l'malkus, if you did the mezid, you chayv malkus. So we don't pass like that. We pass, you have to eat a kazayis. So what if I ate half a kazayis basa b'cholav and half a kazayis of chazer? The two different isurim. So there is one Tana who's of the opinion that isurim mitzdar from zem zeh. At the end of the day, I ate a kazayis of non-kosher food. We don't pass like that. We pass, he's only like if he eats a kazayis of that one isur. So what if I'm not a Kohen, and I eat a quarter of a kazayis of truma, a quarter of kazayis of bikurim, a quarter of kazayis of maisam and a maisam, and a quarter of kazayis, what's the fourth one already? Truma gedoyla,
bikurim. Kala.
So the Mishnah says that the raw mitzvah from zeh mizeh, because it's all shem echod. Has to be shem echod, shireim shavim, mishmaseim shavim. So That's the pashup shot in the pasuk. V'nechshav lachem trumaschem kadogan min agor mecham leim min ayakev. That the trumas ma'isa, the ma'isa min ha'ma'isa, that the levi is mafresh from the ma'isa rishon that he gets and he gives it to the kohen, has the exact same status like truma gedolah. Kadogan min agor mecham leim min ayakev. So then the Torah Shabbal Peh has an additional level of interpretation. This is not pshuto shel mikra at all. V'nechshav lachem trumaschem that truma nitelus min machshava. If the farmer wants to be mafresh truma and ma'isa b'machshava, or if the lady wants to be mafresh ma'isa and ma'isa b'machshava, he doesn't have to pick up the tefuah and he doesn't have to say anything. It's chal b'machshava, even though it should have really required dibur, because hafreshes truma should really belong to the category of inyani hafloya. The Rambam has 14 svarim in the Yad HaChazok and the Mishnah Torah. So one of the 14 svarim is called sefer hafloya. Sayf Havlos, Bad Nidorim, and Aziris, and Shavuos, and Erechem, and Haramen, and Hagdashus, all the things that are Chalai Yedei Amira. So the Gemara says Truma should have been, Truma and Korbanah should have been from the category of things that require Nefesh Kisishava Levate Bisosai. You should have needed deeper. So the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule. One is Afrasha's Truma. Truma is Chal B'machshava, because the Pasuk says in Chumash, V'nechshav Lechem Chumaschem. The other exception to the rule is a Korban Oilo, because the Pasuk says in Dibra Yamim, Kol Nediv Leib Oilos Heviu. All of those who had pledged to give, they pledged in their hearts. Kol Nediv Leib Oilos Heviu. Those who had pledged in their hearts to bring a Korban Oilo brought it. So you see that Hegdish is Chal B'machshava, and Hafrash is Truma is Chal B'machshava. So that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says in the end of Masechus Shabbos, that Iser in the Mishnah, Beitza, that you know, Emagbim, Trumas HaMaisis, B'Shabbos, in certain cases we allow it if you do an Aydei Machshava, because you can't be in violation of a Malacha if you're Sheid Al Tase, and Avera done B'Machshava, that's called Sheid Al Tase. Even Avera done B'Dibur is also called Lav Sheim HaMaisis. So an Avera B'Machshava is not considered Chilul Shabbos. When Rashi writes on Masechus Sanhedrin and the Mishnah, B'chalas HaShabbos B'meizin is Chayav Misa, M'shoge is Chayav Chata, it's only B'chalas HaShabbos Aydei Maisa, that's because Malach HaShabbos needs a Maisa. So that's what you see from this Mishnah, that if the wild animal ran into the house, and then when somebody sat down in the doorway to block the exit, so the animal can't go out. So the Rishon Chayiv, the one who blocked the doorway, he did the tzeid on the animal, and he's Chayiv Misa. Chayiv Chatas, he did the Chil Shabbos. Yoshev Hasheni Etzlo, the second one, sat down next to him. At the time he sat down, he wasn't doing an act of tzeid because the animal was trapped already because of the first one. So then, when the first one, Afal Pisha Omer Harishon Holach Loi, the first one got up and he walked away. Harishon Chayiv, the one who did the tzeid, remains Chayiv. Let's say, I'll write a letter. Then I realize I did a malacha. I'll erase the letter. So you don't say I undid the avera that I did. I didn't undo it. I did another avera. Mochik is another malacha. Koisev is one malacha. Mochik is another malacha. Here, he trapped an animal because he sat in the doorway. Then he feels bad. He realizes tzeda is a malacha. So he walks away to undo the tzeda. So he's chayev still. Harishon chayev. Apo pisha olach loy. Even though the first one walked away, Harishon Chayiv is still Chayiv. He can't undo the malacha. And then it says, Vasheni Potter, said the Gemara said earlier, on Dav Gimel Amenav, Potter Amutter. This is one of the three cases, but despite the fact that it says Potter in the Mishnah, it does mean Potter Avalasa, means Potter Amutter. Because no malacha Shabbos B'Shevi Altas.
Then the Mishnah. Rav Shechter, I would have thought that the second one hasn't done anything at all because, you know, the animal has the same square footage of space right after the first guy got up than right before he got up. So, you know, Lav Sheim HaMaisa is, for example, you know, like by Pigol, where, you know, a person has the wrong intentions and the perfectly kosher animal becomes a Pigol animal. So something happened, there's a change in the Metzius. But over here by two people trapping an animal, the second one did not do anything. When he sat down and he hasn't done anything.
That's a good argument. You really can't prove from this line in the Mishnah that there's no Malacha Shabbos B'Shei Bal Tasa. The Rashi in Sanhedrin does say, and the Gemara later by having Machshava that the Truma should be Chal. That's also B'Ferish Gemara. But this Mishnah doesn't really prove the point because one can say the definition of Seda is the initial trapping of the animal. But if I continue to sit there and the animal was trapped from before, so I didn't do the act of trapping the animal. It's less than a malacha b'shei b'al tasa. It's just the status quo. He was sitting there before and he continues to sit there. So you're right. You really can't prove in this Mishnah that there's no malacha Shabbos b'shei b'al tasa. The other sources are a good ride. This Mishnah is not such a good ride. Good, well taken, good. But Rav Soloveitchik, he thought that that's what it means in the Mishnah. It's no malacha Shabbos b'shei b'al tasa. So then the Mishnah concludes, Olamazah Doime, this is Hetagomer, that the Sheni may continue to sit there as Potter and Mutter. Olamazah Doime, what is this to be compared to? The Noel is Beso L'Shomro, a person goes to shul in the morning, Shabbos morning, and he locks the door. and he didn't realize that there was an animal got trapped. Then he, after he locks the door, he realizes that he just trapped an animal. Didn't realize that the animal ran in when the door was wide open. By his closing and locking the door, he just trapped the animal. So that's perhaps the simple pshat in the Mishnah. That we would call misasik. When a person does a malacha, let's say a person opens up the refrigerator door and the light goes on. It didn't occur to him at all that by opening the door, the light is going to go on. He never heard of such a thing. He just came from Russia. They don't have any refrigerators there where the light goes on. So in America, he opens up the door to the refrigerator, the light goes on all of a sudden. So that's called misasik. A person did the malacha, he didn't even realize that he's doing a malacha. But the Gemara has another example. A person has some vegetables on his plate. He has a carrot, and he takes a fork and a knife, and he's cutting the carrot. He didn't realize that the carrot is still attached to the ground. By cutting, it can't be. But the Gemara has such a case. Let's say he has an apple on the plate, and he cuts it. I didn't realize the apple is still attached to the branch. The branch is still attached to the tree. So by cutting the apple, he's detaching it from the tree. So that's kotzer. So if he didn't realize that he's doing kotzer, so that's called misasik. So misasik is less than shaygig. If a person is mechal Shabbos b'shaygig, he has to bring a chatos. But if the person is mechal Shabbos ben misasik, he's not even chayiv chatos. Let's say a person, the whole Shabbos he had a piece of paper in his pocket, he didn't realize. After Shabbos is all over, then he puts his hand in his pocket, he realizes he has a piece of paper. He didn't realize he was carrying anything the whole Shabbos. That's not called b'shegig. Shegig means he knows that it's Shabbos and he didn't know that it's prohibited to carry. Or he knows that you're not allowed to carry his watch stopped, his watch is too fast. He thought that it's no longer Shabbos. It's either shegig as Shabbos or shegig as malacha. But if he didn't realize that he has something in his pocket, they put, from the cleaners, they put something in his pocket and didn't realize that they put something in the pocket. So that's called misasik, and not chayiv chatos on that. So that's perhaps the simple reading of the Mishnah. Halamazah daimer, the sheni is potter amutter. What is it to be compared to? A person locks the door, and he didn't realize that by closing, locking the door, he's trapping the animal. That's legamre misasik, and there's no avera at all. There is a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivos. They used to correspond with each other. They lived in two different areas, two different countries, but they used to correspond. So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger was of the opinion that if a misasik is not only a din in Hilchos Shabbos, it's a din according to the Rambam. Misasik is a din according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, misasik is a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. When the person realizes that he ate chaylev b'shegeg, that it was boal ishtanida b'shegeg, so he has to bring a carbon chatas. So it says, ha-shechata bo, prata misasek. That's a Mishnah increases. If the person realizes that he did an avera b'shegeg, but if he did the avera b'misasek, he's not chayv chatas. So Tosfos understands that misasek is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. So Rabbi Kivega says, but there's a difference. Misasik on Shabbos, the Gemara says, is a lack of melechas mashevis. Whenever you lack melechas mashevis, means that it's not a melech at all, a hetter gomer. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, there is no requirement for melechas mashevis. So Rabbi Kivega says, in Kol HaTorah Kula, the din of misasik only is, it's a ptur from chatos. But an avera, it is. It is, it's still an avera. Let's say I see a person doing a melech on Shabbos, but he doesn't realize that it has the condition. He's cutting apples on the table. He doesn't realize the apples are still attached to the ground. He knows you're not allowed to be kotzer on Shabbos. He knows that it's Shabbos today. But he doesn't realize that the apples are attached to the ground. So I don't have to stop him from doing that there. It's a lack of melachas mashevis. Misasik on Shabbos is not called a melacha at all. But misasik can call it tarakula. That's a machlekes. Rabbi Kivega holds. And Kol HaTorah Kula, it is an Avera, it's just that it's so much B'shegeg, you're not even Chai B'chatas for that. And the Nesivos has an Hilchos Sefer, an Hilchos Pesach, he writes in his Sefer, an Hilchos Pesach, the Misasik in Kol HaTorah Kula is not called a Maisa Avera at all. So that's a Machlokes. But in Shabbos, everyone agrees. Misasik is not called a Maisa Avera at all. So on this Mishnah, there's a famous Rashba, and the Ran on the Rif quotes two things that the Rashba says and disagrees with both. So the Rashba writes like this. not only is it true in the Mishnah, Anoiles Beso, the Shomra, the person wants to go to Shul Shabbos morning, he didn't realize that an animal was trapped. And he closes the door, he locks the door. He wasn't there the whole time. The door was open for a while. He didn't realize that a wild animal ran in. By his locking the door, he's trapping the animal. So that's mamash misasik. So the Rashba says, not only if he's not aware at all that animal is getting trapped, even if he knows animal is getting trapped, but he's not interested in trapping the animal, it's also heter gomer. There's no there heter gomer. And then the Rashba has, not only is that true, he says, even if he is intending to trap the, he knows there's an animal getting trapped, and he's interested in trapping the animal also, but his main interest in locking the door is to protect all of his property. He doesn't want ganavim to come and steal everything. So his main interest is nervous based on the shomrei, to protect the house. But he also knows that an animal is getting trapped. He's happy about that also. That's his secondary intention. So the Rashba claims he has a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi on this Mishnah, Daf Kuvav and Beis, that says that too is mutter. So the Ran disagrees with both. So the Ran says, what are you, crazy? He's locking the door to protect his house, and he has as a secondary intention also to trap the animal. That's mamsha malacha deraisa. It's chayv misa. It's chayv chattas for that. How can the Rashba say that that's permissible? There can't be such a Yerushalmi. That's impossible. So the Achronim think that the Ran is right. He has as a secondary intention to trap the animal. What's the difference, first intention, second intention? So that the Ran disagrees with the Rashba. He said, that's impossible. Then the Ran says about the first thing that the Rashba said, that even if the fellow knows that an animal is getting trapped, but he's not interested in that, he's still committed to lock the door. So the Ran says, wait a minute, that's not so pashut either. That's what we usually refer to as segresha de la nirale. The person is doing one activity, namely he's locking the door to the house. Ganavim shouldn't walk off with all of his belongings. And he knows that by locking the door, he's trapping an animal, but he's not interested in the wild animal. He would rather the animal should be in the street. He doesn't want the animal to be in his house, but he knows that's what's happening. So that's called the Psik Reisha de la Nichalei. So Psik Reisha de la Nichalei is a famous machlekes between Taisvis and the Oruch. The Oruch is before the days of Rashi. Rashi quotes from the Oruch. They have in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, they have a Psak that supposedly the Oruch sent to Rashi. Rashi supposedly sent the Shadah to the Oruch. If you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you perform the bris? What's the Shiloh? When do you perform? And what do you do when you have a bris all year long? When do you perform the bris? At the end of the davening, before Aleinu. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you perform the bris at the end of the davening, before Aleinu. Because the minig is that after the bris, you say Aleinu l'shabeach, that we're different. Shalom san k'gayayehu aratzois. The Jewish people are different. We have even a bris mila in our body. So that's usually the minig. You do the bris before Aleinu. If you have a big shul and a lot of people have to run to work, so they want to say Aleinu and go. They don't want to stay to the bris. So then you say Aleinu, then you do the bris, and then you say Aleinu again. After you finish doing the bris, Aleinu l'shabech, shalosan k'go yehu arot says. So in Shulchan Aruch, they have this shaila that Rashi supposedly asked of the Aruch. You have to check in the history books whether they communicated with each other. Did they live exactly at the same time? I don't know. That's what they claim. So the shaila was that on Rosh Hashanah we say so many piyutim, we don't get to say Aleinu after Musaf, but after Chatzos. So after Chatzos, that's already a violation of Zriza Magdim LaMitzvahs. It says in the Gemara in Psochem in the beginning, Kol Hayam Kosher LaMila. You can do the Bris Mila any time in the day. Elish Zriza Magdim LaMitzvahs. The more correct is to do it as early as possible. So the boy a lot of times has to go from one place to the other. He does a lot of bris. So the Prima Godim says, but to do the bris after Chatzais, that's a violation of Zvizim Magdim. If you do the bris at 7 o'clock in the morning, so that's now the sun rises about 6:35. So if you do the bris at 7 o'clock in the morning, that's beautiful. Zvizim Magdim, if you do it at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, it's not bad. But if you do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so the Prima Gadim said that's a violation of Zviz Magdim LeMitzvah. So that was why Rashi had the Shaila. We're not going to wait to do the Bris on Rosh Hashanah until we're about to say Aleinu. That's going to be after Chatzai. So when is the best time to perform the bris? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the tshuva that supposedly the Aruch sent to Rashi, that you do the bris right before Tkiyah Shofar. And then you say, that's what we say in the Davin, is Chalonu Bris Avram V'Akedas Yitzchak. The Bris Avram is the bris, and Akedas Yitzchak is the Shofar. So Tkiyah Shofar is to remind the HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Akedas Yitzchak. So the Tosis quotes from the Aruch, Rashi and Tosis every so often quote from the Aruch, it's a dictionary of Talmudic Aramaic. He gives all the words in the Gemara, gives you a translation. So the Aruch develops that idea. If even though Dov Shenim is Kavin is Mutter, Weepa, Machleg Zabir Reb Shimon, I'm doing one pula and I know in advance that may or may not, let's say I'm moving furniture on the grass. There's an Erev. I'm allowed to move the furniture on the grass. But it just rained and the furniture is a little heavy. I don't know whether by moving, and I'm not going to pick it up so much. It's a heavy piece of furniture. I'm going to schlep it on the grass. I know it may or may not cause a charitz. If it causes a charitz, that's a malacha of choresh, a boner. If you make a charitz by soda, that's choresh. Make a charitz by bais, a chay mishum boner. So it's a dovah she'ein miskaven. He doesn't know whether it's going to cause a charitz or not. So we pass on like Reb Shimon, even though you know in advance that it may or may not make a charitz, we still say it's mutter. Dov Shem Miskaven is mutter. But what if it rained and it's heavy furniture? I know for sure it's going to make a charitz. So if it's a psik reshe, then you don't call it a Dov Shem Miskaven. Then it has the status of a Dov Shem Miskaven. But what if it's by making a charitz, it's ruining the field? Like this, it's a beautiful field. It's going to make a charitz. It's a psikreshut l'anichalei. He's not happy about making the charitz. So that's a machleg. Is the Aruch and Tosfos. So the Aruch says, even though psikreshut is usher, even if you're like Reb Shimon, Dovah she'einah miskaven is mutter, but psikreshut is usher. But if it's a psikreshut l'anichalei, then it's mutter, and it brings a few rayas from the Gemara. And Tosfos is not so keen on the Aruch's rayas, and Tosfos thinks that it's still usher. The most cooler you can say is that it's a malach Hashem svicha leguf. Since he's not interested in the result that comes about, he's not happy about the charitz that's being made, so it's a malach Hashem svicha leguf, so it'll be only awesome at the Rabbanim. That's also a machleg of beauty Reb Shem. Reb Shem holds malach Hashem svicha leguf is only the Rabbanim. So the Ran disagrees with both points of the Rashba. The second point of the Rashba was a wild chiddush, that I want to lock the door. The main purpose in locking the door is l'shomro, to protect all of my belongings. Ganavim shouldn't rob the house. But I'm also interested, as a secondary intention, I'm also interested in trapping the animal. So the Rashba says that that's mutter. So the Ran said, that's utterly ridiculous. There can't be such a rishami. That's a dovah hamiskami. And then, not only the second thing, the Ran disagrees with the first thing also. The Rashba said that if the fellow's locking the door in order to protect his belongings, and he knows that an animal is getting trapped, so it's not called misasek. If he does know at all, didn't realize at all, that's misasek. But if he knows an animal is getting trapped, but he's not interested in trapping the animal, so the Rashba said that that's permissible. So the Ran said, not so fast. That's the classic case of psikreshut l'nichalei. That's a machlokes between Tosfos and the Aruch. The Aruch holds that it's mutter, and the Balei HaTosfos holds that it's asa. In Shulchan Aruch, they recommend you have to be machmer, psikreshut l'nichalei, it's not right. If you really get stuck, if it's a big shasatak, so then Rav Soloveitchik said there's room to be mekel based on the Aruch. The psikreshut l'nichalei is mutter, but if it's not a big shasatak, he's supposed to be machmer, psikreshut l'nichalei. So here it's interesting, several of the gedolei achrayim, the Shuas Yankif, and Arachayim, and the Avnei Nezer, and Rabbi Chana Wasserman, and a few others, from the last 150 years, suggested a compromise over here. The double machlekes between the Ran and the Rashba. So they say, on the second point of the Rashba, that the Ran attacked him, what is he talking about? His main interest is to protect his house. But a secondary interest is that he wants to trap the animal. So that's mutter. So that, they say, that doesn't make any sense at all. What's the difference, main interest, secondary? And I can't understand that. But the first point that the Ran disagreed with the Rashba, he's locking the door, and he knows that an animal is getting trapped, but he's not interested entrapping the animal, that's muta. So the Ran asked, no, that's not so pasha, that's a machlekes tesis ne'orach, but psikreshet lo nichale. So that the Achronim say, there's room to explain over here. Psikreshet lo nichale means, if I'm doing it biyadayim. Let's say the following case. Whoever walks in front of the Kohel Maravi is always being televised. You can look 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a website, and you can see who's there. So if your children know that you're watching, they're going to wave to you and say hi. So the shaila is, how is anybody permitted to go in front of the Kohel Maravi on Shabbos? That's a malacha of ksiva. If I stand in front of the mirror and my face, my image is reflected on the mirror, that's not called ksiva. But if I'm standing over here, and people in Eretz Yisrael can see me, or they're standing by the Kohel Maravi and I can see them, so that's not a reflection, that's ksiva. So true, it's not ksav shel kayama. The Rambam writes, if you draw a picture, it's also ksiva, not only if you write words with an alphabet, if you draw a tzor tzura, it's also ksiva. So one tzor tzura doesn't have to be dafka with a pen, with a paper. If by walking in front of the camera, my face appears and my body appears in America on the website, that's ksiva. Ksav she'enu shel kayom. It's going to disappear. I'm going to walk away, so it's going to disappear. But ksav she'enu shel kayom is awesome at the Rabbana. It should be awesome at the Rabbana. So how is anyone, is it permissible? Who says it is permissible? Maybe it's not permissible to walk in front of, walk by the Kohel Maravi on Shabbos, because the people in America will see what you're doing. So that's what the Poskim, when they first put in the security cameras and they were making videos of everybody, so some of the Rabbanim said, you're not allowed to go to the Kohel anymore on Shabbos. Then within a week or two, they realized that it's not so. So they all brought to the attention of the public this pshara that the Achronim made. When do you say that psikreshet the learn here? If the fella goes, let's say on Shabbos, he goes to the Kohel Maravi and he's waving, because in Eretz Yisrael, Shabbos is 7 hours earlier than in New York. So he's waving to his father because his parents are watching in America. He told him he's going to be by the coast on this and this time, and they're going to watch him. So if he waves, then it's a davar hamiskaven. He wants to show his parents that he's there by the coast. He's waving to them. So then he's doing ksivik. So that's taka asa. He walks in front of the Kohel Maravi, so his parents will see that he's there. And Eretz Yisrael is okay. That you're not allowed to do. But if he's minding his own business, he wants to daven by the Kohel Maravi, and they're taking a video of him. So that's considered more than psikreshet v'lo nichalei. He's minding his own business, but because the beams are bouncing off of him, that's why it causes his image to appear on the website in America. So that's better than a psikreshet v'lo nichalei. Psikreshet v'lo nichalei is when he does it. He does something, the adayim, he's causing the malocha. But if he's minding his own business and a malocha occurs because a beam is bouncing off of him and making a video, so that's less than psikreshet v'lo nichalei. So here also, he's locking the door. So if I lock the door and lock the windows in order to trap the animal, even I didn't do any activity to the animal, I didn't handle the animal, but since I closed all the windows and I closed all the doors in order to trap the animal, so the action, the activity of closing the doors and the window relates to the animal, and it's like I did the tzeda on the animal. But if I'm closing the windows and I'm closing the door to prevent ganovim from coming, and the mele, the animal gets trapped. So since I'm not doing it b'adayim, so that's why the Rashba held that it's less than psikreshet v'lo nichalei is a machlekes taisus in the ark, but this is less than that. This is like the case that let's say I walk on the street and the lights go on. Some of the people have such an arrangement. There's a motion detector. Motion detector, I'm not doing it. I'm minding my own business. I'm walking in the street. So if I know the lights are going to go on, it's not too great a tiruch. I should really walk out of the way because the Ran said that it's a psikreshet v'lo nichalei. I'm not interested in the light going on. It's a psikreshet v'lo nichalei. According to Tosfos, it's aser. The Aruch would say mut and Tosfos would say aser. But because the Rav Achronim, many Achronim think that we should pass like the Rashba, that's less than psikreshet v'lo nichalei. That's why if it's too big a tircha, to keep on walking from one side of the street to the other, because I know here he has a motion detector. If I walk there, the light's going to go on. I go out over there. I have to keep on walking zigzag, zigzag. So it's too much of a tircha, so then we can rely on that. Truth of the matter is that the same svara that the Achrayim explained why the Rashba holds that it's less than psik reishis lo nichalei, the same svara explains the second din of the Rashba. Why he said, even if you're interested as a secondary interest, his main interest is to protect his belongings in the house. He's not his base of the shomer. He's locking the door to protect his house. But he's also interested as a secondary, he's also interested in entrapping the animal, but since it's only a secondary interest, so it's mutter. So the Ran said, what is he talking about? It's a malacha deraisa. He's miskaven to do tzed, it's a malacha deraisa. So the answer is that we can understand. You don't have to paskan like the Rashba. The Achrayim think the Ran is more correct. But we understand why the Rashba holds. The Rashba holds, when I do a pu'ula to the windows and the door, and that pu'ula relates to the animal, it's considered that I did the tzedah. That's only if that was my main interest in closing the windows and the door was to trap the animal. But if my main interest in closing the door was not to trap the animal, not to trap the bird, main interest was to protect my house. That was only a secondary interest, so the Rashba holds that that's called, I'm doing a Malachas Tzedah without a Maisa. Because the Maisa that I did to close the door relates only to my main Kavana. The secondary intention is considered as if it happened B'li Maisa. So Malachas Shabbos B'li Maisa is Mutter. The same Svara that Achrayim explained, why it's less than a Psik Reishis Lo Nichalei, explains also the second Chiddush of the Rashba. Well, we don't accept the second Chiddush. So that is the famous Mishnah that the Machlokes between the Rashba and the Ran.
Rabbi, what's the definition of an animal or a wild animal? Does it also apply to pets?
No, if it's domesticated animals and you don't have to chase after them to catch them, so then there's no way Malach have said at all. So that's a big discussion in the Mishnah Brura. When is it domesticated enough that it takes off the Isra of Tzedah? So that's those who live on farms. If you just bought an animal and you didn't break it in yet, so then it's still going to be an issue of Tzedah. But once it's already domesticated, then there's no issue of Tzedah. Then they say, the Gemara says that Tzedah deraisa is only on Yesh B'mino Nitzot, only if it's the type of an animal that's normal to be trapped. So let's say deer. People catch deer in order to shech them. And people trap cows in order to shech them. And birds, they want to eat the birds and so on. What about the ants and bugs and flies and those kind of things? So today, people, scientists are making experiments on everything in the world. But I don't know if the din changes. And at least in the days of the Tanaim, they say that insects are dov she'en b'mina nitzad. No one's ever trapping those things, so that's not Tzedah Deraisa. That'll only be Tzedah Derabbanan. That'll only be Tzedah Derabbanan. There's a Taz. The Taz has a Kula that's questionable. This comes up every so often. The Taz says, let's say I have a cardboard box, or I have a drawer, and if the box is open, and if I close the box, if there is a bug in the box, a bug or an ant or a fly or something, if there's an insect there now, so then by closing the box and closing the drawer, I will be trapping the insect. But I don't know if there's an insect, so am I mechuyev to check before I close the box and before I close the drawer to make sure that I'm not? Because if there is a bug there, then I'm doing a psik reisha of tzedah. I'm doing a psik reisha of tzedah. That's according to the Ran. According to the Ran. Even though I'm not interested in trapping the animal, so the Ran says that's still a psik reisha to la nichalei, so that'll be in the machlekes between Tosis and the Aruch. So the Taz is assuming, like the Ran, that if you close a box and you're not really interested in trapping the insect, but you know that there's an insect there, and by closing the box, it'll be a psik reisha, trapping the insect, so that'll be a psik reisha. What if am I mechuyev to check the box of the drawer before I close it? Should I say a sofik psikresha is by definition not called a psikresha? Psikresha means it's a vadois that is going to happen. So the Taz writes, whenever it's a sofik, so it's not called a psikresha. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that Rabbi Kiveger in Yoridei Hilchas Vasa B'cholov quotes the Taz and he interprets a Ramah in Hilchas Vasa B'cholov as disagreeing with the Taz. The Ramah says that if a Nochri is cooking something today in his pot, he's cooking kleshik, so he's cooking milchiks, I shouldn't light the fire. Yes, because you do me a favor and light the fire. And I turn on the gas on the bottom. So the Ramah says, Ramah quotes earlier Poskim, I should not light the fire under the goy's pot, because it could well be that he just cooked milchiks within 24 hours. Now he's going to cook fleshiks, so that'll be basa b'chalav deraisa. And basa b'chalav deraisa, if he cooked chicken and milk, that's only basa b'chalav derabanan. But if you're cooking flesh with milk, that's basa b'chalav deraisa. Basa b'chalav deraisa is not only asa b'achila, there are three isurim. Asa b'achila, asa b'ano, and it's asa b'bishol. You're not allowed to cook it. So if I'm going to light the fire under the pot, it's a fleshik pot and it's cooking milchiks. It's a milchik pot and it's cooking fleshiks. So if the bliyev is from yesterday, from more than 24 hours ago, then we call that nois n'tam levgan. A bliyev that's ein ben yomo, it's from, it was sitting, the bliyev of the food was absorbed into the pot over 24 hours ago, so the charsis agdeva, the metallic flavor, the metallic taste of the pot, if it's a metal pot or it's a klicheris pot, will do a job on the bliyev and it'll be poigim, it'll be nois n'tam levgan. So it won't make the food into basa b'chalav. But it's a possibility that the goy cooked the milchiks in the pot within the last 24 hours. So then it'll be a basa b'chalav derais. So this is a and basa b'chalav derais is even also b'bishul. So this is also a question. A group of achrayim, I personally thought like these achrayim, a group of achrayim thought that that's not basa b'chalav derais. Basa b'chalav derais only derech bishul asuter. I'm cooking the meat with the milk in order to mix the flavors. But I'm cooking meat in a milchik pot, I'm cooking milk in a fleshik pot. You're not going to succeed, even if it's within 24 hours, you're not going to succeed in really giving a tam of the milk and the flesh. But Bechal Darais is, if you're cooking together meat with milk, so a few achrayim say like this, but the major achrayim say that it's wrong. I thought like that, but the Prima Godim and the Chavez Das, all the big guns, all the major Achrayim, they all say that it's not true. If the Kli is still within Ben Yomo, then it'll be Basa B'chalav Deraisa, and it'll be Anisa Bishol Basa B'chalav Deraisa. So the Ramah says you're not allowed to, even if the Goy asks you to do a favor, to light the fire under his pot, you shouldn't do it, because maybe he cooked Cholav, and now he's cooking Basar, and it'll be Anisa Yud, violating Bishol Basal B'chalav Derais. So Rabbi Kiveger asks, but it's a suffix segregation. You don't know if he cooked milk within the last 24 hours or not. So if he didn't, then there's no segregation. So according to the Taz, whenever there's a suffix segregation, it's called the Dov Shein Miskav and should be Mutam. So Rabbi Kiveger says, you see from this Ramah, not like the Taz, that when they say suffix segregation is not a segregation, if the suffix is Lahaboh, I want to move heavy furniture on the grass, on the lawn, and the earth is a little softer than usual because it just rained, and there is a possibility, maybe yes, maybe no, and may or may not make a charitz. So the suffix is lahabo. I'm not sure. I'm going to try to pick it up a little bit. I'm not going to pick it up completely. It's too heavy. I'm going to try to make it lighter than it is. So that's a suffix labo. Will I succeed in avoiding making charitz in the ground? But if the suffix is lishaavar, then there may not be a fly or a bug in the box. And by closing the box, yavada, if there is a fly in the box, then yavada being tzadid. So that's a suffix segregation, suffix lishaavar. And if there is a fly in the box, then it's a vadai psikresha. So that should be, so Rabbi Kiveger thinks that should be suffix deraisa l'chumra. You shouldn't say like the Taz that the suffix psikresha is double shedding miskav. So the Mishnah Berurah points out, Rabbi Kiveger himself points out, there in Yeridaya, And Hilchas Basa L'Chol, it points out that he is in disagreement, this Ramor, and you're there quoting earlier Poskim, is in disagreement with the Taz. How do you hold Halacha L'Maisa? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Malchamas. The Ramban has comments on the bottom of the page in the Rif. There's a Mishnah about a person has a samovar full of burning hot water and he emptied out the whole samovar. So then he wants to put in cold water. So the Mishnah says that is permissible. So Tosfos and the Ramban, the Rishonim are bothered with Akasha. There's a malacha of mitzaref. If you have metal and you heat it to a very high temperature, and then you pour out all the burning hot water, and then you pour on the cold water right after the burning hot water was there, so this will strengthen the metal, and that's a malacha of mesakemonim, because it makes the metal stronger. That's mitzaref. Mitzaref is a malacha. Question is a malacha. There is a malacha, there are bonnet, but it's a malacha. So the Tosfos and the Ramban are bothered with the kasha. How come the Mishnah says he can empty out all the burning hot water and pour in cold water? It may cause mitzaref. So Tosfos says he's not interested in doing mitzaref, and it's a dovashen in miskaven because it doesn't always work. You have to know how to pour it, and it may be that it wasn't hot enough, maybe it's not cold enough. You need a lot of conditions, and it doesn't always work. So it's not a vados. It's not a vados, it's not a psikresh. The Ramban gives a different answer. Ramban, on that Tosfos kasha, gives an answer. Maybe somebody was already mitzaref the metal yesterday. Maybe somebody already was mitzaref the metal. So that's a safek l'sho'avar. And nonetheless, the Ramban says it's safek l'sho'avar. He says like the Taz. Safek l'sho'avar is called the dov she'ein miskaven. A safek psikresh, even though the safek is not l'haba, it's a safek l'sho'avar. So he says, even a safek l'sho'avar is considered a dov she'ein miskaven and a smutah. So the Malam Bilhoyal has on the very last page, Malam Bilhoyal is Barab David Tzvi Hoffman. He's more known for his work on biblical criticism, the way he defends our tradition of the Torah was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it wasn't written in different generations, but he also has small tshuvas, he has three volumes, Chelek Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Now they print all three together, so not such a fat volume. So in the very last page of the third chelek, he has next to the last tshuva is on this topic. What's the din of a suffix psigresha where the suffix is l'sho'avar, not l'haba? So he quotes the Taz, and he quotes the Melchamas, and he quotes the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura says the only reason that discusses it is the Melchamas. Melchamas says l'hokel. So he says there's room to be makel. That a suffix l'sho'avar, like the Taz, not like Rabbi Kevegas Chumah. A sofik l'sho'avar is also considered a dovashen miskaven, and it would be mutta. These are the famous topics in Tzedo.
Rav Shachter, why don't we say, that basically if it's miut hamatzoi, let's say I'm going to close the drawer and there might be a bug. So why don't we say if it's miut hamatzoi, then I do have to check. If it's not miut hamatzoi, I don't have to check like we do by other mitzvahs outside of Shabbos.
Yeah, I don't know. Even miut hamatzoi means a 10% likelihood you should already be machmer. Yeah, so we don't say that. We say even if it's 50-50, it's still mutter. Because it's a dovashenim is kavet. Yeah. Even if it's worse than that, not only 10% likelihood that you'll do a malach, even if it's 50%, even if it's more than that, we say it's a dovashenim is kavet, so it's not a psik ratio, so it's mutter. Yeah. Then we have the next malacha is shochet. Shochet is otherwise known as Netilas Neshama. If you kill an animal, not only if you shecht it and the blood spills, if you choke an animal to death, if you shoot an animal, it's also called Netilas Neshama. The Gemara says that Horiga Sakina, if you kill lice on Shabbat, that's mutter. Why? Because lice are not part of a rava. They don't reproduce. They don't reproduce. It comes min ha'ipush. The Gemara seems to be assuming that it's spontaneously generated. That if you have a lot of garbage, the garbage will convert into bugs. So that's what the Gemara says, that horgis hakina, is mutter on Shabbos. So this was a big question. Louis Pasteur proved that there's not so, no such thing as Bakhtinis generation. So that was, there's an encyclopedia that was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Lamprenti. It's known as the Pachad Yitzchak. He has all the dinim and the Gemara alphabetically arranged. So he raises this issue. How do you deal with that Gemara? Now that we know that there's not such thing as Matenah's generation, so you should say that it's also to be Harig HaSakina B'Shamas. So some Rabbanim can say it's also. I think Rabbi Tendler used to say it's Taka also. Or one can interpret that it's not Paraviravya means that it's a different kind. It's a different kind of Paraviravya because you have to have a special preparation, agar-agar, some kind of food that should cause them to multiply. So it's a different kind of piriviravya. That's a question. What do we do? What do we do with that din? Yeah, the Gemara says also that there are certain worms. The Gemara seems to be assuming that certain worms that you find in the fish converted to become a worm. So we know there is no such thing. Fish doesn't convert to become a worm. So what do you do with that Gemara? So herring is full of worms. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, you're not allowed to eat any worms, but herring, those herring worms, that's mutter. Why the herring grows mutter? Because the Gemara says that the flesh of the fish turns into worms. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. How can it be? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, what it probably means is, so some say we shouldn't follow the din in the Gemara. They asked Rav Moshe Feinstein if he could write a tshuva about that. So he said this, the quote, he said, what is it to write a tshuva about? If there's no shayla, it's enough in the Gemara. Open and shut the din in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, that the worms and the fish are mutter. So there's nothing to write a tshuva about. So years later, people said that Rav Moshe never wrote a tshuva, and maybe he held that it's awesome. No, he didn't write a tshuva. He said there's nothing to write, no shayla. It's zichah mutter. Other rabbonim thought that now that we came to the realization that the fish doesn't turn into worms, the worms developed from the eggs that the worms lay there. So the worms always call me bachutz, not that the fish turned into worms. So others think that we shouldn't be allowed to eat any of the worms in the fish. And Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, we have to understand the Gemara that it means that the worms were not visible to the naked eye. They were microscopic worms. And the first time they become visible to the naked eye, it looks as if the flesh of the fish converted to become worms. So that's what the Gemara means when they say that it's nolad min ha'ipush. Doesn't mean that they believed this. Maybe they thought it was spontaneous generation. But still, since it's not visible to the naked eye, that's not called paraviravya. That's not called alive. And there's no issa until it's in shama hariga sakina. And that's mutter to eat the fish. I remember when I was in college, I had Professor Shmuel Soloveitchik, that was Rav Soloveitchik's younger brother. Rabbi Soloveitchik was much younger, and Shmuel Soloveitchik was, I think, 2 years younger than the Rav, and they used to learn with their father together. So he told us that the communists didn't believe in God, so they have a problem. If Louis Pasteur proved that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, so you have to believe in God? Otherwise, where did life come from? Life can't happen by itself. So they commissioned their scientists, the communists, commissioned their scientists, they paid the money that they should disprove Pasteur. So for money, you can do anything. So they proved that Pasteur was wrong. So many Rabbanim were dancing from joy that they just saved the Rambam. That the Rambam writes, the Gemara in Makkos has a din, Ochel putisa lo ka'arba, nemola lo ka'chamish tzira lo ka'shesh. There are certain insects that if you eat the insect, you get 4 times Malkus, 5 times Malkus, 6 times Malkus. How do you get so many Malkus? Why so much Malkus? So the Rambam has a unique shita. Rashi and Tesis and the Ramban and the Goenim all assume that if you have a pasuk written in the Chumash 4 times, not to eat a sheretz, you get 4 times Malkus. The Rambam says no. If you have a kefil halav, it only counts as one lav, and you only get once Malkus. Tesis shita, Tesis holds that if it's written 4 times, you get 4 times Malkus. Tesis and Rashi and the Ramban and the Goenim, they all have it written many. In fact, Tesis writes in the first daf in Perek Hazal Neshech, The only time you have a right to say, sometimes the Gemara says, why do you have two psukim? What's the second pasuk adding? Lavra ala b'shnei lavin. You should know you violate two averes. So Taisa says you only have the right to say lavra ala b'shnei lavin if it's a lav she'esh b'malkas, it'll be enough kamina ledina. But it's a lav she'esh b'malkas anyway, so lavra ala b'shnei lavin is just for emphasis, but you're not going to get tzvei more malkas. So then you have the right to say labra ala b'shnei lavin. That's what Taisa writes. And the Ram holds just the opposite. So when you have a pasuk repeated many times, you only count it once in the minyan mitzvahs. You only get once malchus. How can it be tzirah lo kishesh? If you eat a certain insect, you get six times. Why do you get six times malchus? So the Rambam says, a sheretz hamayim that swims in the river, there's one malchus. A sheretz ha'olf, if it flies, there's another love. Sheretz ha'aretz, if it crawls on the ground, there's a different love. And if it flies and it swims and it crawls on the ground, so it's all three. Sheretz Ha'ov, Sheretz Ha'amayim, Sheretz Ha'aretz. You get three times Malchus there. And if it's spontaneously generated, then there's another lav. That's four times, and he gives more. He explains what are the six times Malchus. Then the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and no one should contradict me by saying that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. He says, anybody who knows the ABC about science knows that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. So that was a problem the Rabbonim were very worried about. After Louis Pasteur proved there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, so what do we do with that Rambam? So many Rabbonim were dancing from joy when the communist scientists disproved Louis Pasteur. Oh, we saved the Rambam. So I remember Professor Shmuel Soloveitchik said, Och and they, that they're dancing from joy, we saved the Rambam because of these apikursim, the atheists, they didn't believe in God. So that's why they had to disprove Louis Pasteur. So that's what we're happy about. Whatever the atheist states, it's all up because everything is ridiculous. Of course there's no spontaneous generation. We should reject the Rambam, and we should be interpreted, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, that we don't believe in spontaneous generation. It means it's a different kind of peribrivia, or it's not visible to the naked eye, something like that. We already spoke a little bit about this when we spoke about Dosh. The Gemara has a malacha chavola. Chavol, if I cause someone to bleed or if I make a black and blue mark on someone, so that is some kind of a malacha or another. The Gemara says chavola is a malacha. Which malacha the Gemara never says. So that we spoke, that's a three-way machlokes. So Tosfos' opinion is the most popular because the Rishami says like Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't quote it, but the Achrayim say the Rishami says like Tosfos that the pasuk says, Ki adam hu anefesh, the blood circulation keeps the animal alive, keeps the people alive. So since Ki adam hu anefesh, and if you're doing Netilas Neshama, if you kill the person, you kill the animal, that's Shoichet, that's Netilas Neshama. So if you cause a black and blue mark, so that blood is not dead. Or if you cause bleeding, that blood is not dead blood. So the Tosfos has the expression from the Gemara, Nida, Malikot Kula, Malikot Palda. Causing bleeding is a violation of Netilas Neshama. The Gemara in the beginning of Ksuba says a sofik, is it permissible a couple got married and the girl is a besula? So usually it's going to be dam besulim at the time of the Biri Shaina. So the Gemara has a sofik, ma'al libel besula betchila b'Shabbos. Is it permissible to have the Biri Shaina on Shabbos? Because you know in advance that it may or may not cause bleeding. So should I say it's a dovashayna miskabein? Should I say it's a malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa? He doesn't need the dam. He doesn't need it for anything. So the Gemara comes to the maskana is mutter. That discussion. The Gemara comes to the maskana is mutter. So the Gemara raises a possibility. Maybe I should say the dam besulim is mifkid pocket. When is it oisach habura? When is there a malacha? If you cause bleeding, if the dam is chibur mecheber, if the dam is circulating in the whole body and is keeping, it's supplying oxygen to all the organs and it's keeping them all alive. So then you say ki adam hu anefesh. But the Gemara has a suffix. Maybe the dam psulim is mifkid pocket. Maybe it just sits there. How can you say it just sits there? It doesn't correspond to reality. It also circulates in the whole body. So it could be that the pashup shat the Gemara, they weren't misupiga in the mitzias, in the medical mitzias, whether the dam psulim is part of the circulatory system. It certainly is, but the Gemara meant like this. The pasuk says ki adam hu anefesh, the purpose of the blood circulation is to keep the animal or the person alive. When the Rebbe Shlom created women, he created that there should be dam besulim. The dam besulim that's going to come out was never intended. It keeps on rolling around. It keeps on circulating in the whole body. But lamaisa, when it comes out, that dam was never intended for the purpose of keeping the Baal Chai alive. That was intended to serve as dam besulim. That was the kavana of the Baryonim. It wanted, so that's perhaps what it means. Nifkid pocket doesn't mean it's not circulating. In Metzias, it is circulating, like the rest of the circulatory system. But since the purpose of that dam, that's for the female body, so maybe that's not called the Netilas Neshama, because you don't apply the Pasuk, Adam HaNefesh, on that dam. Anyway, the Gemara says that it's Mutta because it's a Dov Sheni Miskaven, because it doesn't always happen. It's not going to be a Psik Resh. Sometimes it's possible to do a Biri Shaina, and there still won't be any Hatzalas Adam. Yeah, then we spoke also about Amila Bismana, the 24 prokem in Mishnayis Masechah Shabbos. So one of the prokem is Rav Lezer the Mila, all about all the general adinim of Bris Mila in general, and particular about a Bris Mila on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So if it's Amila Bismana, it's Mutter on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Mila Bishla Bismana is not Mutter. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, that's a discussion that we spoke about last week, beginning of Parshas Tazria. So the Gemara says that the performer Bris Mila on Shabbos constitutes a malacha deraisa. That's why if it's shaloi bismana or a suffix, mila bismana, mila shaloi bismana, it's not deche Shabbos. What malacha is involved in doing a Bris Mila on Shabbos? So we said there are different opinions. So we spoke about gozes a couple of weeks ago. So the Dvar Avram discussed the shitim kubetzes in the beginning of Ksubas, had a suggestion that just like cutting off hair and cutting off nails and cutting off warts that don't belong on the body, or growth on the body, is a malach of gozes. So if you cut off the or harla, that's also gozes. So then he asks, what kind of gozes? That's part of the body. That's like cutting off a finger. How is that gozes? The hair is something that grows on the body. The nails grow on the body. The wart doesn't belong there. He imam's cutting off part of the body. That's like cutting off a finger. How is that gozes? So he said, on a Jewish baby, it's gozes. If you do a bris mila on a goyish baby, it's not gozes. It's maybe a different malacha. But it doesn't make sense. It belongs there. If it doesn't belong, then you can say it's gozes. But that's not the popular opinion. So one opinion was that the malacha is misaken mana, because an oral is not permitted to eat, truma is not permitted to eat the korban pesach, called oral ayachal boy. And once you perform the bris mila, then it's permitted to eat the korban pesach, and if he's a kohen, it's permitted to eat the truma and so on. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. We usually assume that the malacha involved in bris mila is the bleeding. So the bleeding is a malacha of Netilas Neshama. So the bleeding is a malacha, yeah. The question is, do you really need bleeding? So we spoke a little bit about that in the past. In America, they came up with a clamp that they wanted to prevent excessive bleeding at the time of the bris, so they would put on a clamp on the baby to prevent any blood from flowing. Then they would cut off, put it on 5 minutes in advance, and there's no longer blood going there. And then they would perform the bris mila, the skin that was already, that didn't have any blood going, there would be a little bit of blood, but that's already dead blood from before. That blood was already dead from before. So the Rabbanim, that was famous in Agudas Harbana, made an Isser that you're not permitted to use such a clamp if you have a Mogen shield to protect the baby's body, that if the moil slips a little bit, he shouldn't harm the baby. So that's a Mogen clamp. But if you have a clamp that's going to prevent bleeding, so that's not proper, because the Mishkan Asyanka quotes the Zohar that they're based on the Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. There are three parts to the mitzvah of Mila. There's Mila and Priya and Hatov Hasdam. So the mila is when the moil cuts off the thick skin covering the eva ha'orla. And then the priya is when now the common practice is that they cut off. Years ago, they used to just fold it back, rip it and fold it back a little bit. Now they cut it off. So they cut off the thinner membrane that's below the or ha'orla, and then you have to have hatav hasdam. So then we discussed, Rav Soloveitchik wasn't so convinced al pi din that you really need hatav hasdam. He thought, if a baby is not at mahul, if the baby is born, he doesn't have any orla, so you can't cut off the orla, So then, Yini Hatavus Damris, or if a Nochri wants to convert, and he already had a circumcision done to him and wasn't done Lashem Geirus, so then there's a Machlokes Hatanoim. So we're Machmer that a Nochri, Shabbalah his Garkis Shuhu Mol, he already had circumcision done, they have to have Hatavus Damris. When you do Hatavus Damris on a baby that's Nolad Mochel or a Nochri, you don't say a Bracha. You don't say a Bracha either because it's a Sofik, or because even maybe it's even a vaday mitzvah, but it's an income to mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa. That's the discussion why bracha is not recited. So Rav Soloveitchik raised the possibility that maybe whenever you do a mila kshera, whenever you do a mitzvah mil, maybe there's no need for atavos damris. Maybe only need atavos damris for geirus. Or for an olad mol, maybe in a normal meal you don't need. But that's what the Mishkan Yankel quotes from the Zohar. Mishkan Yankel quotes a lot from the Zohar. He was the Mishkan Yankel Kadina. He was from the early Talmidim of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner in Volozhiner Yeshiva in the beginning of the 1800s. So he quotes from the Zohar that every bris milah has three parts: the milah, the priya, and the hatofas adam. Rabbi Tendler, Zechon Lebrach, just passed away a couple of months ago, used the taina that we really have antiseptics now, and in order to prevent infection, we don't have to do mitzitza anymore. In the days of the Gemara, they needed mitzitza to prevent infection. But today, the Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayos writes, you don't really need the mitzitza to prevent infection. We have antiseptics. So why do people still do mitzitza? So they do mitzitza v'peh. So they insist that it's part of the mitzvah of milah. So the pashtus in the Gemara is not. So pashtus is that the sole purpose of the mitzitza is to prevent sickness in the child. So he tied it. How can you do mitzitza on Shabbos? Mitzitza on Shabbos is a malacha of netilas neshama. You're causing bleeding ki adamu anefesh, and it's l'gamri shalo l'tzorach. That's how good to tied it. How are you allowed to do mitzitz on Shabbos? Fine, you want to be machman the weekdays, but on Shabbos you're in violation of the melacha. That's a shayla. So the Velt says that according to the Mishkan is Yankov, that every bris milah, the Dvar Avram elaborates on part of this, every bris milah has to have three parts to it based on the Zohar's interpretation in the pasuk. You need milah and priya and hatofas dam. So that hatofas dam has no minimum, has no maximum. So even if you just have a tiny little bit of dam, that's good enough. Let's say when a baby is not at mohol, and you have to do hatofas dam bris, so you really have to cut till you get a drop of blood. So the Chazon Ish writes in his sefer, it's not necessary to have hatofas dam. You can take a needle. If I take a needle on my hand and I scrape lightly, I'll probably have a red mark. That'll be nitzra hadam. So he said, that's the same as hatafas dam. You don't have to have an actual drop of blood. If you scrape very lightly, so it won't leave any mark at all. But if you scrape not that lightly, and you'll have a red mark, that red mark means that's dead blood over there, like a black and blue mark. So you don't have to take out so much blood from the baby that it should be black and blue. If you make a seredak on the baby's Eberha Orla, in the right location, that's another discussion. Where is the right location? So the Chazon Ish disagrees with everybody else about that. So he said, that's called Hatofes Dam. That's called Hatofes Dam. So in Hatofes Dam, there's no minimum and there's no maximum. If you're going to do mitzitza, even if you have mitzitza, it's not necessary. But as much dam as you're going to take out with the mitzitza, which is not necessary for medical purposes, but there's no maximum for the din of Hatofes Dam. So that's a chelik, that's part of the bris milah, according to the Zohar. You need three parts, you need milah, priya, and hatofas dam. So there's no minimum, there's no maximum. A seret dak is enough, and if you have a little extra dam, is also, it's all nitfas as a chelik and a mitzvah. That's what the Dvar Avraham interprets in a Tosfos and Ksubas, in the beginning of Ksubas. It says Tosfos seems to hold like that. This idea that Tosis develops, that ki adam hu anefesh, and therefore hatofas dam, is malikot l'kula, malikot l'paga, that causing chabala, causing an animal to bleed, is a violation of shechet and tilis neshama. So Moshe Feinstein has this in a different area. There was a big pilpul 80, 90 years ago. If a person legs tefillin on the left arm and he's paralyzed, he had a stroke and he's paralyzed on the left side of the body, so he doesn't have movement of the left arm. Is one yotze the mitzvah of putting on tefillin if you put it on the dead arm that doesn't have any sensation? So Moshe writes, yes, you are Yotze. How does he know? Because his father was a big Talmid Chacham. His father slept in Sukkah on Leil Shmini Atzeres. He was a Misnaget. His father slept in Sukkah, and it was freezing, and he got a stroke, from which he died later. Ultimately, he died a few weeks later. And his father continued to leg tefillin on the left arm, even though the arm was paralyzed. So that's how he knows that that's the din, because his father did that. How did his father know? So Moshe shows it's a Gemara in Maseches Bcheiros. Middle of Bcheiros, you have a couple of prokim there, which are for non-medical students, are very boring. The Gemara describes what's a balmum on a korban and what's a balmum on a kohen. If the kohen is a balmum, he's not allowed to be makor korban. So if the behem is a balmum, he can't be makor. So the Gemara discusses about a balmum. So the Gemara said there's a din of Mechusar Eivor also. There's a din of Balmum and there's a din by Oifus, only Mechusar Eivor apostles. There's no din of Balmum by Oifus, but there's a din of Mechusar Eivor. Mechusar Eivor is even by Behem also, there's a din of Mechusar Eivor. So the Gemara says if the blood is no longer circulating, if temporarily you put a tourniquet and there's no blood circulating to one organ, but then you can untie the tourniquet and then the blood will, it's reversible. And the blood will continue to flow. So then I say, even now that the blood is not flowing, it's since it's reversible, so that organ is still alive. But if there is an irreversible cessation of the flow of blood, you stop the flow of blood for so long that you can't reverse it anymore, so then that organ is considered a dead organ. So Moshe says, if the left arm is paralyzed, means that the nervous system is not functioning, but the blood is still circulating there. If you cut that, if you cut the something on the arm, the blood will gush out. He's going to bleed. So the blood is still flowing there. So the arm is still alive. The definition of life and death depends on the flow of blood. Doesn't depend on something else. So that's a big question in recent years. How does one define Kvias Rega Amavus? When do we decide that a patient is dead already and we're allowed and we should bury him? So a whole group of doctors and rabbanim came up with the idea of brain death. There really isn't any mocker in Chazal for brain death. The Tanaim talk about Hutas Rosho. Hutas Rosho is a different thing. If you detach the person's head from the body, so the whole circulatory system collapsed. So the Pashtus is that the blood circulation is what keeps the animal alive. That's what we said. That's the Pasuk in Chumash, Ki Adam HaNefesh. The world of medicine didn't realize that till a few centuries ago. But that's what it says in the Chumash, that the blood circulation keeps the animals alive. So once Hutas Rosho, so the whole circulatory system collapsed, so then I say the person is considered as if he's dead. Yeah. What if you have organs, some of the organs are no longer being supplied with blood? So when do you consider the person is dead? So Moshe answered tshuva to one of the rabbanim years ago. The Gemara says, if a person is not breathing, that's a simon that he's dead. So one of the rabbanim said, if he's not able to breathe through his nose, let's say they put him on a ventilator, they put a trach in his neck, and he's breathing through the neck, but he's not breathing through the nose. So some of the Rabbanim said that he's considered dead, because the Pasuk says, call it in Parshas Noach, on the occasion of the Mabo, kol hashem nishmas ruach chayim bi'apav, mikol hashebech harava mesu. The Gemara quotes that Pasuk. The definition of life is, kol hashem nishmas ruach chayim bi'apav, if he's breathing through his nose. So Moshe says, that's ridiculous. Are you crazy? The person is alive, and he's breathing with a trach? The nose is not, the Rav Moshe has the expression, the nose is not from the Evarim Shana Shama Tliyabem. The Gemara has special dinim. Certain organs are defined as vital organs, the heart and the brain and the lungs and so on. So there are vital organs or non-vital organs. There are people who lost fingers, people lost arms, people lost legs, eyes, but that's not a vital organ. The vital organs, that's called Evishan Hashamat Lebo. So Rav Moshe, the nose is not a vital organ. The lungs are a vital organ. So Rav Moshe seems to hold that the definition of life and death should depend on whether the vital organs are alive or dead. He makes fun of those who thought that if the person is not breathing through the nose, he's breathing through a trach, that he's not considered alive. He said, that's only an asmachta, that pasuk. That's what the Chassam Sefer says also. That pasuk was intended as an asmachta. And in fact, the Chassam Sefer wrote tshuva to Reb Tzvi Hirsch Chayus. Most of the tshuvas in the tshuvas Chassam Sefer, he tells you who the tshuva was written to. This one he doesn't write who it's written to because he's upset, he's angry at him. So he says, are you an apikoros or something that you don't believe in the Diri Chazal? So he didn't want, when they printed the Chassam Sefer, didn't want to insult Reb Tzvi Hirsch Chayus. So they didn't write to whom the tshuva was written. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayus was very proud of his correspondence with the Chassam Sefer. So he printed his letter to the Chassam Sefer. And he printed the response of the Chassam Sefer. So we know who the tshuva was sent to. So the Chassam Sefer, every paragraph in the tshuva of the Chassam Sefer that's printed in Tshuva's Chassam Sefer corresponds paragraph by paragraph to the paragraphs in the Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayus, the Maritz Chayus' letter that he sent them. So one paragraph, the Maritz Chayus raises an issue that the Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim quotes from Galen. That was a Goyish doctor in the days of the Tanoim, a Roman doctor, I think, who writes that we have medical history that a person stopped breathing for 3 days, and after 3 days he came back to life. He was able to function again. So the Maritz Chayus asks, how can we assume that the Chevek Kadisha waits 15 minutes and the fellow is not breathing? We assume he's dead. But the Rambam quotes from Galen that it's a Hechitimsa that the fellow wasn't breathing for 3 days and that he came to later on. So how are we so sure that we can rely on this? So the Chassam Sefer basically says that pasuk kolosh anishmas ruachayim biyapov is only an asmachta, that's not a real din. And the not breathing is not the definition of life and death, that's a similar dover. If the fellow is not breathing, if the body is cold, there's no movement at all, the body is cold, and he's not breathing for 15 minutes, then we assume that he's already dead. But the not breathing, that's not the definition of death. Definition of death is something else. The Pashtus is what Ramesh said, when the blood is no longer circulating. That's a definition of death. Now the doctors in America are right. The Rabbanim haven't realized this. There's a Talmud Chacham from England who's about to publish the whole essay on this, a whole conscious. The doctors in America say that they have a different definition of brain death now. They inject a chemical when a person is brain death and they want to harvest organs to help other people, to keep them alive. So they sometimes when they're harvesting the organs, so the patient whose organs are taken is going to wave his hands up and he's going to knock the doctor. He's knocked the doctor's arm. So they inject the chemical into the patient, into the donor, they call the donor, the one whose body they're taking, cutting apart. So he won't knock anything into the hand, he won't knock over the surgeon's hands. This is not Rav Moshe's definition of brain death. Rav Moshe talks about brain death that the person is not moving at all. There's no movement at all. And the body is cold. Here the body is warm. He's still moving all over the place. So this doctor, one of the big doctors in America, writes they have a totally different definition of brain death today, not what they had 20 years ago. So this is not even the accepted, what was accepted as alive and dead. Anyway, that they have to reconsider all of this. The pashtus is that the brain death is garnished and garnished. And the definition of life and organs is blood circulation. The definition of life and death on the whole organism is also blood circulation. Just the question, do you have to wait till all of the vital organs are dead or rive of the vital organs are dead? And how many organs do we consider al-pidin vital organs? The Rambam only has three. The Rambam keeps on writing only the brain and the heart and the lungs, I think, and the liver. The liver, the brain, and the heart. But the lungs are also vital organs. There are some more vital organs. So the Rama holds that pidin, there are only three, or is it lavdavkin? So that then you have to work on that. Linetta, next week we'll talk in Yoni Pesach. Let me just close with a short word on the parsha. The pasuk says in Chumash Devarim, "Ki polim imcha davar la mishma bein dam la dam bein din la din bein nega la nega." If there'll be a machlokes and you can't resolve it, and it's ripping apart the community. So you have to present the shaila to the Bez Nagodol. They'll come to Elisa Lamach and Shiv Hashem. And you have to follow the psak of the Bez Nagol. So the quote from the Vilna Goyim, and that there is Eliyahu and Rab Chaim Volozhin and the children of the Vilna Goyim quote, the Vilna Goyim comment that the phrases in the pasuk, Bim Dam Le Dam Et Din Le Din Et Nega La Nega, Kan Kilo La HaTorah Kol Gimel Chelke HaTorah. There are three areas of halacha. There's Dam Le Dam, that's Yisra Leheta, Din Le Din is Din Imamis, and Nega La Nega is Tumah V'Tara. There are three different areas of halacha. Each area, all the dinim fit into one pattern, but the three areas do not blend in to make one big pattern. So the Gemara has lamosha leklal isura mi mamoina lo yafina. Why? Because isa veheta and mamonis are two different areas. Isa veheta is one big pattern, and dinim mamonis is another pattern. And isa mituma lo yafina, that's a Gemara in Yevamos at the end of Perek Mitzvah Chalitza, isa mituma lo yafina. So that's why the pasuk has the three expressions, bein dam ledam, bein din ledim, bein nega lenega, in any one of the three areas of halacha, whether isa v'heter, adin imamas, atuma v'tara, you have to get the psak from the Bez Nagol. So in sfeikis, the klolim are different. In sofik tuma, we usually say it depends, sofik tuma b'shus hayachid, versus sofik tuma b'shus harabim. In din imamas, we say sofik m'mayna l'kula, hamaytza m'chaver olav haraya, whoever is muhsak keeps the mamon. And he said, "Had to be say sofik deraisa luchomer sex feka lekula." So, because the three different areas of aloche, there are always fakers. There's sometimes fakers in mitzias, sometimes fakers in aloche. So, because the three different areas are aloche, so the way to the mimachria and the three different areas is totally different. Sometimes he says feka deraisa luchomer by isa deheter, by momenis he says moitzan chavel of harai and the muhsa keeps it, and by tumah v'tara it depends whether the sofik was b'shusayochid of the Shul Sarab. Okay, Belinda, next week we'll prepare a little bit for Pesach. Everyone should be healthy. And good Tevach.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Very good.
Thank you, Yosha Koach.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go ahead.